You're listening to a podcast from the Lakes Church in Cairns, Australia.
Hey, this is a special podcast from the Lakes Church. I'm Jeff, and what you found is a midweek Q&A podcast in a series that we're doing called Uncensored. Conversations the church needs to have. Over these 3 weeks, on Sundays, we're talking about three of the biggest issues that the church has sometimes ignored and sometimes covered up over the years. And I don't mean specifically our church, I mean the church in general, but sometimes it means our church too. And so this week, we talked about child abuse on Sunday. And so I'm here now with some responses to questions that people have asked me by SMS or in conversation, just to extend the conversation a little bit more from the message on Sunday. If you haven't heard that message yet, I'll link to it in the notes that come along with this podcast. And so you can go back and listen to the whole message there to get the context of what I'm talking about. So the first question someone asked was, what about when both people involved in child abuse are minors? So what if someone under 18 or under 16 is involved in sexual abuse with someone else who is also under 16 or is a minor? And that's not something that I talked about on Sunday. I spent most of the time talking about child abuse when it involves an adult and a minor. But the reality of both people being minors, both the perpetrator and the victim, is very real and very true. Just wasn't really within the scope of the message. It can be just as damaging in some slightly different ways, even when both people are minors. There's a great website I'll link to from the government which explores this a little bit from a legal point of view. One of the things that website explores is what constitutes abuse as opposed to consent. So things about the specific age of the people involved and the age difference, the difference between whether there is some understanding about what's happening, all those things are important. So if you're interested in that topic, I'll link to that. But that is a very important issue, and it's not without legal consequences as well and all sorts of other consequences, which I talked about on Sunday. There's another question about the potential for a false claim impacting an innocent person. And I really emphasized on Sunday how important it is to believe someone when they disclose abuse to you. But for some people, that is a little bit scary, because what if it's made up? What if it's a false claim? And then that completely changes the life of an innocent person when they're accused of something. For sure, and I have no experience of this, but for sure it is a possibility that there is a false claim that's believed that impacts an innocent person. But there's a whole bunch of reasons why I believe we must believe anybody who discloses abuse to us. The first is that the tide has to turn. For way too long, abuse victims and survivors were never believed and were never really listened to, and they were ignored or just told to get over it. And the tide has to turn, because abusers have got away with way too much for way too long in continued situations of abuse, often with multiple victims. So that's got to change. And so running the risk that there is a slight possibility that there's a false claim is worth it, because the tide has got to turn. The other reason is that the statistics are really high of the believability of survivors when they disclose. Now, I've just got this vague memory of a statistic that I heard years ago that I couldn't find again. So I don't want to quote something that I can't back up, except to say that when someone discloses abuse, the chances that they're telling the truth are really high, because, you know, there's rarely, if anything, to gain from lying about it. Also, we trust the police and we trust child safety authorities and we trust the legal processes. And as we move into this era as a nation, we trust the National Redress Scheme processes. That even if we aren't sure of the outcome, even if we aren't sure of the believability, it's not up to us to investigate and decide. We can report it to people who are able to join the dots and figure it out. And most of all, as Christians, we trust God in that, to help us and help others in the pursuit of justice and healing and safety. Someone asked a great question about what support options are there for abusers or people with a tendency towards abusing children. That's a really good question. I don't have any personal contact with any of these people or organisations I'm about to mention to you, but they have been referred to me by others who in their networks, these things have been helpful. So the first two are Cairns-based. There's a counsellor from Fix It Counselling, Kylie Nix, and she has experience working with people who have a sexual attraction to children and issues around that. So I'm going to put her details in the notes with this podcast. Also, there's Dr. Jeff Nelson from Psychology and Wellbeing. He also has some experience in that, and I'll put his contact and his details online. And both of them talk about Skype sessions. It doesn't even need to be face-to-face. Because if you are an abuser, or if you have tendencies towards or sexual attraction towards children, then you need to get help immediately to get yourself out of any situation where the possibility of you abusing could happen and to get help. And so both Kylie Nix and Dr. Jeff Nelson are able to help you with that. And then there's also online reference from Australia called Stop It Now, which has support groups internationally and some great downloadable resources. And so I will put the link to that website on the notes as well. Someone asked a question about our church's child protection policy, and it'd be great to have that available on the website. And absolutely, we certainly do have a child protection policy. At the moment, it's made up of a collection of a few different documents put together. And so as I speak, we're working with our movement, our denomination, Churches of Christ in Queensland, to consolidate that and update that. And then we would really like to put that finished version, which will be easy to understand, on our website. But we definitely do have at the moment a child protection policy which we follow and which we implement. And the last question. Someone just raised with me the idea of the benefits of working with children. Now, I talked a bit about this in the message, but I just thought it's a great way to finish this midweek Q&A, and it's a great thing to remember and to talk about, is that as we talk about the abuse of children, there are so many people who advocate for kids and work with kids in a totally positive and healthy way, and that is fantastic. Working with kids can be so worthwhile and so rewarding. Sure, it's hard and messy, and the rewards sometimes can be minimal and it's often underappreciated, but Jesus had a heart for children. And so if you're able and suitable to, maybe with a sense of calling towards working with children, that is wonderful. So I just want to honour and value the courage and the heart of people that do work with children. Those who do it with the right motivations and in the right context is so valuable. And it is something that, you know, we should aspire to, and we should work hard in really serving children well, whether it's in a volunteer situation, whether it's with our own family, or whether it's in a professional capacity in some way. And one book I recommend to you, and I'll put a link to it in the notes as well, it's called Too Small to Ignore, Why the Least of These Matters Most, by Dr. Wes Stafford, who is from Compassion, the child sponsorship organisation. Wes Stafford was an institutional abuse survivor himself. He talks about it in the book, and I know that Sharon Price, who is our Lakes Kids Ministry team leader and on our staff team, she loves that book and recommends it to others. So I'll put a link to that. Thanks so much for being part of this conversation. And we've got two more of these midweek Q&As with our future topics on domestic violence and then mental health. So I hope you have a great week, and thanks for joining the conversation.